It was a good fight, good performance, I thought. Leon does what he does, and he keeps asking for money and more things, but he's not a finisher. He's not a fighter. He was winning happily, and he wasn't willing to put himself in a risk to go out there and get those finishes. That's why I don't think he's in a position that he wants to be in, because he's not going out and fighting every second of every minute. So he's a very skilled guy, but he just doesn't have that grit and that meanness in him to go out there and beat up a top contender the way he should. And with that, welcome to Early Stoppage, a show where the news of the day is usually given just enough time, but sometimes not enough. If this is your first time stopping by, we thank you. And get ready for something you won't find anywhere else. I'm John Franklin, and I'm joined by the God, Father of Fight Night Picks, Craig Allen. Craig, how are you?
John, I'm well. I do not know how long my headphones are going to stay wireless and functional. We just got off an hour and a half on the SCMP MMA show with one JHK MMA. You know them all from, well, Fight Night Picks, and we've got a lot of great content with them coming out shortly. There's an interview with Charles Rosa, and then we've got Champ and Champ back to back. Adriano Moraes and Christian Lee. I'm really excited about it. Stay tuned for those interviews. They're going to be coming out shortly. But John, we got a lot to talk about. We got a packed show. So as the boys always say with Fight Night Picks, what do they always say? I can't remember.
Let's get on to it. On this episode of Early Stoppage, we talk Ortega's dominance over Volkanovski, Nate Diaz, life coach, and the Phenom and the Golden Boy. But we begin, Craig, with Israel Adesanya. Craig, Israel Adesanya was back in the cage over the weekend. He was what he always has been, dominant at 185 pounds. Craig, the fight went the distance. Do you think this means that Adesanya has now entered his GSP phase and he's just trying to hold on to the belt? Or do you think Marvin Vettori is just hard to finish?
That gosh darn New Zealander. Fool me once, can't get fooled again. And I had Marvin Vettori before the fight to win the fight. Well, did he win the fight? No, not at all. I absolutely love the performance by Israel Adesanya. I mean, there were a few times that Vettori was able to get the takedown, but for the most part, you don't normally see a lot of fighters have success behind the black lines. You saw Adesanya land. You saw the trunk movement combined with the head movement. I mean, it was not a perfect performance. I'm sure he maybe, you know, there'd be a couple of different spots that he'd like to improve. But from the first fight with Vettori to now, for Vettori to even have a bit of a claim, as silly as it was that he might have won that first fight because one of the judges scored two rounds for him, to now, it's totally different. And I think, you know, if we're grading things on a scale of George St. Pierre runs, we're almost there. I mean, Israel Adesanya's on one, Kamaru Usman's on one. It's a fun time to be an MMA fan right now.
It is. You know, listen, I'm one of my isms that I give my students when I'm a teacher is don't set a pace you can't keep. Well, the pace that Israel Adesanya set was greatness, right? That's the pace he set. He's finishing everybody. He looked fantastic. He gets in there at 205, and we find out, okay, maybe he's not Anderson Silva in his prime. Now, in fairness to Adesanya, he was fighting a champion, and Silva fought either also Rans or guys that were out of their prime a little bit. But I think that we figured out what we needed to figure out, which was he needs to stay at 185. He needs to dominate that division. That's what he had always kind of planned to do. And then he saw a little bit of an opening there, a little bit of maybe a weakness at 205 where he could snatch the belt and get John Jones to come back for a super fight. Didn't work out the way he wanted it to, but he's back where he belongs and looking great. I don't think that this is a GSP thing, and this is with apologies to GSP in terms of how great he was. He did reach a point after Matt Serra knocked him out where he just was going to grind guys out and get the win. I don't think that's what Israel Adesanya looks to do. It's not in his personality. I think that he's going to go in there like a sniper, looking to take guys out always. But he does understand that, you know, with the gold comes the gold. As long as he's got the belt around his waist, he's fighting in main events. He's fighting for bigger paychecks. So I think that, yeah, he's – I wouldn't say he's got a game plan to keep the belt. I think Vettori is just a durable guy, and that's what he ran into.
You could say that Israel Adesanya is back. Back in the New Zealand groove, right? And a guy that's back in his groove is Leon Edwards. And John, last weekend, Leon Edwards defeated Nate Diaz. And listen, he's been waiting for a title shot for what seems like forever. So the question is this fight reason enough to give it to him? Is a win over Diaz, does it make a lot of sense to book him into a title fight this soon?
Well, you know, listen, I think that if you're Leon Edwards, you have to be saying to yourself, what do I got to do? I give you the streak. The streak's not good enough. I give you guys with names. That's not good enough. I got a history with the champion. That's not good enough. Like, what do I have to do to get this fight that I want? I think that if beating Nate Diaz, listen, if they're waiting for him to just knock five guys in a row dead, it's never going to happen. So I think, you know, we talked about this with JHK. I think that you make him an alternate potentially for the Colby Covington, Kamaru Usman fight. You get him in town. He talks some trash about both guys. You make him visible. You put him on the desk. You do all the things that you got to do to make this guy visible. That might be, yeah, that might be trouble, but you do it. We certainly have had cringy guys on the desk before. I would say that's the move. Yes, I think that he should be in that orbit of title contention.
And everyone should know that you should never watch fights as you do a podcast, but Rory McDonald with an absolute eye rake for the ages and Gleison Tibau, I mean, he flopped. He's flopping right now, so we'll see if the fight continues on. But yeah, for Leon Edwards, it's tough, right? Because what else do you do? Do you give him the winner of Luque Chiesa? Like, does he deserve the title shot? He's just in this odd spot where, yeah, you're the third-ranked contender, but beating a guy that was unranked well, going into that fight, does it make sense to even book a title fight off of that? Now, purists will say, as your guy on the left hand of the screen here, that, yeah, I think Leon Edwards, based on previous track record, deserves a shot. I mean, what else does he have to prove to anybody? Well, he has to prove to anybody and everybody that he actually does deserve the shot. And is it like he did the greatest job selling the win either? And I know that's something that we talked about recently, but did he even sell himself enough to deserve to punch that ticket?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think you're going to get any. I'm a strike while the iron's hot kind of guy. And I think that you're never going to get, it's never going to get better than this. He's never going to give you, or than it's been. So I think now's the time. He's as high profile as he's ever been or going to be. Now's the time. Speaking of champions, Craig, I'm going to keep this intro short and sweet, just like Brandon Moreno. Brandon Moreno's flyweight champion of the world. It is time, Craig Allen, for you to take your victory lap. This is your guy. You've been calling him the champion in waiting. The floor is yours.
And then I didn't pick him to win last week, right? And nobody remembers that I went on a years-long campaign saying Brandon Moreno, future champ at flyweight. Now, I was a year late, so I can kind of take the claim to fame with the draw in 2020, but I'm so glad to see this. Listen, I mean, we kind of poked fun at it in the prediction video, the fact that we got the opportunity to talk to Brandon Moreno. It was kind of an odd dynamic. It was almost like we were super fans, but really at the end of the day, MMA, JAA, what? I don't care. We had the opportunity to talk to Brandon, and that was good enough. But listen, this is great. I think it opens up markets. I mean, I know what your plans are in terms of combat sports MMA viewing experiences for this weekend. But when you kind of take the flavor of what's going on out there in MMA, Campbell McLaren's trying to say that Combate is the premier second best MMA organization out there by ratings. I don't know. I haven't seen the ratings. Don't really care. I really don't. I like the Combate product. I don't care about the ratings. When you have Brandon Moreno as a champ out of Latin America, I think this is absolutely amazing. It's great to see a champion from Mexico. I think he's going to go on to do very, very good things. And I don't know if you saw this, but was it not Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. that was talking about Brandon Moreno this week and giving him props? I absolutely love that. So I'm so happy. Couldn't be happier. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. It's great to see. You love to see it.
You do, and I think it sets up something that we love in the sport, which is a very compelling trilogy, right? Because, you know, some guys had the first fight for Moreno, but that's not kind of how it went. He wins this one, and I think that plus he's got a history with a lot of guys in this division. You know, Brandon Royval, Kai Kara-France, Oscar Oskarov, what is the young guns in flyweight, he's got a history with these guys. So we could set up a lot of rematches. It makes this very interesting. I love the Moreno story. Listen, we've been talking about, can we get a guy that we can market who is a Mexican, Spanish-speaking guy Cain Velasquez didn't quite have the Spanish, but he had the what? Yair Rodriguez. There's a few guys, Roger Huerta. There's a few guys that have fallen short in the history of the UFC trying to get into that market. Moreno could be the guy. I mean, he's certainly talented enough. He seems personable enough. I'm super excited for him as our champion. I'm super excited that you've been on Brandon Moreno for a while. And it's good to see. I think that's a healthy division moving forward. One that we worried about, right? We didn't know what the future of the division was. And now it seems like a very healthy division, which is why sometimes guys jump on the, this division's going away. And if you just give it a couple of months, before you know it, it's super compelling.
It's great to see. You love to see it. And John, I think you're really going to love to see whenever FanMeo decides to send me the t-shirt that I paid the shipping for. It was $12.99. And every day I go on there for the past week, it says, you paid, but no item is shipped. And John, of course, I'm talking about the t-shirt that I will receive in the mail with Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul pasted on the front. They got together in what we'll call a fight for the purposes of this discussion. It was clear that Floyd won by all accounts, but Logan Paul looked better than expected. He looked pretty good in the first round. So the question is Floyd Mayweather really past his prime, or did he kind of carry Logan Paul through the fight? Or is Logan Paul kind of a legit boxer in this circumstance?
So let's get the easy one out of the way. Logan Paul's not legit, so it can't be that.
Where's my shirt? That's the easy question.
Where is it? I think maybe Floyd's a little past his prime. You know, he does what he needs to do to get a fight marketed and to get people to tune in. Like the Conor fight. He kind of used the same script here that he used with the Conor fight, which is, I'm not taking this that seriously. So there's a chance this kid could get at me. I think Floyd knows better than anyone in the history of combat sports how to let somebody get close enough to promote fights and to make rematches compelling, but not close enough to really do any damage to you. I think that Paul looked about as good as Floyd was going to let him look. Maybe. I think these Paul kids take the fighting way more seriously than people give them credit for, but I just don't think that they're on that level. You know, if you play Michael Jordan to 10 and you score 5, it doesn't mean that you're going into the NBA the next day. So I think that yeah, I would say it's some mixture of Floyd being past his prime and some mixture of him carrying Logan Paul well enough to maybe keep a rematch open to, you know, the potential for a rematch to be there.
Yeah, that's just it. Like, I mean, you go back and you watch the fight and listen, I was excited that my guy Badu Jack was on the card. The Hurd fight was really good. Like, there was a lot of moving pieces. I mean, honestly, I didn't even pay for the Ocho Cinco fight. I missed it. I would have liked that. Like 2007, Craig Allen would have been all about that fight. But I watched the main event, watched it with my wife, and I don't know. I mean, you didn't have a winner. And like Floyd going around and saying, man, you know, this kid, like, you know, he's something. Like it all felt disingenuous at the end, and that's kind of what disappointed me. I mean, really, you know, you pay your $49.99 at the end of it, you get a shirt that you then have to pay shipping and handling for, which is probably the price of the shirt. Hey, FanMeo, where's my shirt? But yeah, I enjoyed it for what it was worth. I paid the money. Was it worth it in the end? Maybe not, just due to the fact that there wasn't really that much animosity, and they were kind of doing the old Nate Diaz of playing touch butt in the park once it kind of got into the ring. But yeah, if it sets something else up, cool. And in August, we've got our big Paul fight, Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley. Can't wait.
And we move on. Craig, Clarissa Shields made her debut in the PFL, had a little trouble, but ultimately got the win. What do you think? What's your takeaway from this? Do you think it's better that she faced some adversity? Do you think it means that she's not quite ready? She's too green? Or do you think had she gone in there and just ran through people like Kayla Harrison has, that we can sort of question her opponents? Where are you at with Clarissa Shields? And before you answer that question, can you please tell me, is the GWOT or the G-WOT or whatever, is that not the worst nickname in the history? First of all, she's the greatest woman of all time? Is that what? Because I mean, listen, all due respect to Clarissa Shields, I've met a lot of women in my life and seen a lot of women in my life. They're probably a little greater than Clarissa Shields on a lot of fronts. But is that not the worst nickname?
I thought Cecilia Brakos for the longest time was the quote of women's boxing. Like, I thought it was her. Remember when Brakos fought and Chris Cyborg was in the, she was in the crowd. She had a belt with her. She had a shirt that said like Brakos Cyborg. We were supposed to get a Chris Cyborg boxing fight. Remember that? Am I the only one? Just me?
Yeah.
It's just me. Okay. I'd still like to see that fight maybe, but when I watch that performance and when I go back and kind of think about it, I thought Brittany Elkin had a pretty good shot at beating Clarissa Shields. And I know that might sound ridiculous to some people because Elkin was 3-6. But when you have a base in MMA and you've had actual MMA fights, it's probably easier to beat a pure boxer than it is to lose. And you saw that in that fight. I mean, Brittany Elkin had success early on and Clarissa Shields came back and won that fight. And usually, John, in MMA, by and large, you see wrestlers have more success than just a pure boxer. I would expect a wrestler or somebody who's good at judo or somebody who has a grappling background to find more success in MMA than just somebody that, man, I am a pure boxer and that's it. We saw how it worked out for James Toney, and that's a poor example, but that's usually the way that it works. So for me, I look at it, it's a good debut for Clarissa Shields. It's a huge win. They've really put a lot of stock into her, so obviously the promotion wants to see her win. But as far as long-term success, it's going to be difficult because if you do look at that division, there's a lot of, you know, fairly good fighters, I would say, as good as you're going to find at women's lightweight. So it is an uphill battle. But even winning one fight is a huge win.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we get the unintended consequences, right? Something good comes out of something that we weren't expecting. And now the system can be gamed at times to get those things, or sometimes they just happen, you know, in the way of the world. For example, when the Dream Team played in 92, there's a lot of rumors that when they played the college kids, Chuck Daly fixed the fight or fixed the game so that the college kids would win, so that the, you know, it would be in the air to the U.S. team, the Dream Team, that, hey, you guys can lose. I think Aaron Pico losing early in his career probably has helped his career. So I think the fact that Shields faced some adversity but still got out of there with a win wakes her up to the fact that all these belts and all this boxing prowess that I have, I don't get to take that shit in the ring with me. I got to go in as Clarissa Shields, the green MMA fighter. And the reason why all these fights that are happening between MMA fighters and YouTubers or washed up boxers are happening in boxing rings is because it's serious business when you get into an MMA cage against whoever you get in there with. And you can't be great at boxing and think that that's going to translate into an MMA cage. So I think that she learned that. I think that she'll take that and she'll take it back to her camp and have some real life experience. You know, she's had a great camp. I'm sure that she's gotten her ass kicked in that camp, but now she has some real world experience to say, hey, this can all be taken away if I don't mind my P's and Q's when I'm in there.
Let's talk about, you know, a good transition of a boxer goes into MMA. Let's talk about a former all-time MMA great going into boxing. John, Oscar De La Hoya finally has an opponent, and it's an old friend, the Phenom Vitor Belfort. John, when you were my age, these guys were in their primes. And again, I know what your viewing history will look like come next weekend. As far as this weekend's combat sports concerned, what are you thinking about this one? Is the juice worth the squeeze? And if they put a price tag on this of $29.99, are they going to get your $29.99?
Oh, they could charge me a lot more, and they would still get it. You know, a lot of these fights, you know, we talk about this even in MMA. Is this a poster fight? This is a poster fight, if ever there was one. I mean, a lot of people know who Vitor Belfort is because he was in the UFC forever. He fought John Jones. He annihilated people. He was, you know, had the shaved on the sides and the weird haircut when he was TRT Vitor. I think a lot of people know who Vitor Belfort is, and a ton of people know who Oscar De La Hoya is. And I think that Vitor is going to be game enough to make it interesting. And I think that Oscar De La Hoya is going to be smart enough to keep it, you know, keep his distance and ultimately work this thing out. But yeah, I think that there's a, you know, if you're interested in Tyron Woodley And Jake Paul, you got to be interested in this. I mean, these guys certainly have more credentials than those guys do. So, you know, this is somewhere, I think, in fan interest level between Lamar Odom and Aaron Carter and Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley. I think this fight could do well. I don't think that De La Hoya is as good at marketing these things as Floyd Mayweather is or Jake Paul is. But on name recognition alone, I think the fight could do well.
Mike Tyson, I love you. Oscar De La Hoya, I don't know. It's like, I really like to listen to John Boy Media. I love their shows. If you're a baseball fan, you already know about them, but check out their podcast, Talking Baseball. And they play a clip every now and again. It's an Alex Rodriguez clip where they're talking about Mookie Betts, and it's one from ESPN. And Alex tells a story, and he goes, and I asked him, I said, Poppy, can he hit? And he said, can he hit? And it's so awkward and weird. I think of Alex Rodriguez when he's on the mic is like, I don't like him. He blows his load early, uses up all the stats that they give him in the first 5 minutes. And then it's just Alex Rodriguez trying to play catch up with Matt Vasgersian. On the flip side, you have a guy whose brain moves faster than the words that are coming out of his mouth, and Oscar De La Hoya, that's saying ridiculous things on a Triller broadcast. And now all of a sudden has wished to fight into existence with one Vitor Belfort. I'm not paying for it. Like, there's limits to me paying. Now, I say that now, but I paid $50 for Mayweather and Paul. So, again, take it with a grain of salt. But I don't really care. I mean, when I was a kid, the Fight Night games, I had one of those on Xbox Classic. And was De La Hoya on the front of one of those?
I think so, yeah.
Like, I was a kid, so I can't really remember. But I did.
I was a grown man.
Yeah, I had like a slight connection to Oscar De La Hoya that way. But to me, it was a guy that my dad would talk about every now and again. And it was too far ahead of my time. I can still get the Vitor Belfort thing though, because I was in MMA then, but this one is not for me. And again, Celebrity Boxing and Triller, they were supposed to have a big card this weekend. Teofimo was supposed to fight. And now they've totally rebooked the whole card to what, August? So, I mean, that's just one case. I don't know. The boxing, it's getting out of hand.
I agree. So let's move on back to MMA for sparring sessions this week. Greg, Nate Diaz gave Leon Edwards some advice at the end of their fight. It was this. Quoting Edwards, Nate told me after the fight, don't let these motherfuckers tell you you ain't shit. Name your price or they will name it for you. And Leon said, and I feel that. So the question for sparring sessions this week, Craig, is does Nate have the game figured out or is he just delusional? Or the third option is, does that advice work for a guy that has a win over Conor McGregor but not a guy who struggles to get marketed and got two-pieced by Jorge Masvidal backstage?
It works for a guy that already has money in the bank and a win over Conor McGregor and multiple sponsorship deals and occasionally rents a house in your neck of the wood of Phoenix and the embeddeds or whatever, the countdown. Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
Every time I see people renting those houses in Phoenix, my mind automatically goes, where are the scorpions and where are the Black Widow spiders? And you got to flip your shoes inside out and you got to worry about every piece of clothing you're putting on and everywhere you step. That's all I think about.
I've lived here 10 years. I've never been stung by a scorpion.
But have you seen the spiders?
Yeah.
Like a lot?
No. Oh, it's not that
That's
bad.
Scary. But to get back to Nate Diaz, like, yeah, this is a guy that's already got it figured out and he's late in his career. Leon Edwards isn't the youngest guy. He's been around for a while. So, yeah, it is nice to hear that from Nate Diaz. But I don't know what it amounts to, because is Nate Diaz going to change Leon Edwards' fighting style to make it more appealing? Is he going to give him a fight against Gomi where he finishes him, or a fight against Marcus Davis where he looks amazing, or a win over Conor McGregor? No. So Leon's got to kind of get on his bike and get in business for himself. Great advice, but you got to take that, again, with a little bit of grain of salt, too.
I'm with you. These are more interesting when we disagree, but this one's a no-brainer. I mean, you know, when you're Nate Diaz, you can say that. And, you know, listen, Nate Diaz has been insulted by the best of them. I mean, what Conor put on him before the first fight, with he's making gang signs with the right hand and balloon animals with the left. I mean, he shredded Nate. And what does Nate do? Cool as a cucumber, just sits there and says, fuck you. And I mean, that's Nate Diaz. Most guys would not survive that. Jeremy Stephens is still in ICU from what Connor put on him at the press conference. So, I mean, that is easy to say when you're Nate Diaz. It's easy to say when you're Nick Diaz. And the fans love you, and nothing will ever change that. Nate Diaz and Nick Diaz fans are going to love Nate Diaz and Nick Diaz fans are going to love Nate Diaz and Nick Diaz no matter what they do. So I think that it's, yeah, I'm with you. And like you said, when you have what Nate Diaz has, you can make that statement. When you have what Leon Edwards has, it's a little harder to make.
It's tricky.
We move on to the featured segment this week. Let's see if we can't make an entry into TikTok with this one. Craig, it's simple. You'll be giving. I'll be receiving because I'm the old head here. It's a this or that. Only one of these people could ever exist. It's not who's better. It's if you're wiping one away from ever existing, who would you wipe away? I'll answer, but I'll give some explanation as well. The floor is yours.
John, I can't wait for this one. I'm so excited, so let's get into it, as we always say. Hoist Gracie or Ken Shamrock, this or that, early UFC?
Hoist Gracie is a pioneer. He's one of the most relevant people of all time. He's on Mount Rushmore, but I don't get Tito Ken without Ken. I think that for me, I'm picking Ken.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Proud Canadian, and they say it, if you're coming on, come on. Harold Clarence Howard or Keith Hackney?
We never have if you're coming on, come on without Harold Howard. But, man, when Keith Hackney knocked out Emmanuel Yarborough, I've never seen anything like it before or since. I'm taking Keith Hackney.
Keith Hackney. All right, we move on. Big names, huge names, and a guy that has tons of fights. We got Dan Severn or Oleg Taktarov.
This is a tough one for me because I met Dan Severn. He's a cool guy. The early part of the UFC can't be told without him. I cannot forgive that fight with him and Ken Shamrock, although it wasn't entirely his fault. Oleg Taktarov has my favorite part in Ken Shamrock's Lion's Den book, which is him and Ken used to shut the door and just fight like it was a regular fight. Nobody ever got to see him. I'm taking Taktarov just because I think there were other guys who did what Severn did, and he wasn't all that compelling.
John, big names. Tank Abbott or Marco Huas?
This is a tough one because I think Tank Abbott knocked – oh, my God. I'm struggling with the guy's name. I'll have it before the end of this. But he knocked my man out, and his arms went like this. And then – or Marco Huas, who was the king of the streets, had one of those fake records we love of 200 and however many and oh, and he was really the godfather of foot stomps. I'm taking Huas.
All right, we move into another couple of really big names. Don Fry, the king of the mustache, or Kimo Leopoldo, the king of the cross?
Kimo Leopoldo was the first guy that let us know that Hoist Gracie was vulnerable because he went the distance, lost the fight, but went the distance with Hoist, and then Hoist couldn't continue, and he came out on a cross, for Christ's sakes. That's a weird thing to say when you say someone comes out on a cross. But Don Fry, you can't – if I'm going to get rid of Dan Severn, I can't get rid of Don Fry. They're interconnected. He was Magnum PI, except he could really fight. I'm going Don Fry.
All right. We move into our last one, John. Mark Coleman or Gary Goodrich, the Canadian?
You know, Gary Goodrich had that fight where he ended up in a weird crucifix and threw about 780 elbows to this guy's head and knocked him completely dumb. But Mark Coleman gave us, even in his defeats, he really told the story of the UFC. So he won UFC 8, won UFC 10, the ultimate. Then he went on and won the Pride Grand Prix, his loss to Pete Williams, his loss to Maurice Smith. You can't tell the story of mixed martial arts without Mark Coleman. I'm taking Mark Coleman.
TikTok, let us know what you think about that one. Hey.
And we move on to social now, Craig. Let's start with For the Gram. This is kind of catchier, maybe just a dad joke. We're going to do a tough date instead of an update. Get it? We're going to update the Ultimate Fighter. Brian Ortega is dominating Alexander Volkanovsky. Both of the wins so far in the two episodes have been Ortega's team. Do you care? Does this matter? Are you watching? What's up with Tough?
I mean, I'm more invested, John, in the fight that's on my television screen because in 2021, Gleison Tebow just beat Rory McDonald by decision. Gleison friggin' Tebow. Huge robbery. You're going to hear about this for weeks, but I digress. I care more about the PFL. I care more about, you know, some of the fringe MMA organizations than I care about the Ultimate Fighter. I'm sorry if that's not the answer that you wanted, but it's the answer that you got. I hate the show. I hate it.
All right, fair enough. We move on to one Twitter hitter. And listen, the segue is perfect. You live by the sword. You die by the sword. Gleison Tebow wins this fight. He lost the fight against Khabib Nurmagomedov 100 years ago. Khabib Nurmagomedov this week said he is interested in a football career that is not American football. That is the world's football of soccer. Craig, should we care about this? Do you care about this? Or is this a slow news week kind of thing?
I mean, the last time I watched Khabib play a sport that wasn't MMA, I watched him dribble down a court. Well, he might have dribbled once, and then he grabbed the ball in his arms, ran, nobody defended him, and he put the basketball in the basket and then ran around like you'd never scored before. It's interesting to hear. Now, I'm assuming this is international football, right? Not like
yes.
North American football? Okay.
International.
Yeah, I'd be cool with that. I'd be much cooler with if he played North American football and preferably CFL football, because I doubt that that big football could fit in his little hands.
You know, it's interesting. I don't even know what the hell you call that version of basketball they play. Well, let's call it full contact basketball. If you guys haven't seen that on YouTube, Khabib Nurmagomedov and all his buddies beating the shit out of each other to play basketball, please find it on YouTube. It shouldn't be hard to find. Craig, it's posting to the book time. It's old head time. My birthday is this weekend. Father's Day is this weekend. And I could not think of a better gift than Anderson Silva in a boxing match with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. How excited are you?
Your gift is in the mail. I'm going to send you some Canadian carbonated sap. It is really good. I cannot speak these. Apparently, they have a boozy version in Ontario with a little bit of like vodka. That'd be great. But again, if you're a kid, you didn't hear any of that. You probably didn't make it this far in the show either. So go to bed. But John, when I look at this, I'm going camping this weekend. I'm going to wear my Sasquatch shirt. I care to see the result, but that's about it.
Anderson Silva, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., Hector Camacho Jr. My only concern with this fight is I have no idea who's promoting it. A couple of guys in their garage. So the production value is going to be trash. Fortunately, Fight TV has an app on Apple TV, which will be in my backyard. The grill will be fired up. The pool will be full. The drinks will be flowing. June 19th, I turn 44. Let's get into it.
Question. So is this going to be like when friends come over to watch fights at my place and it's just me on the edge of my seat watching prelims?
You know, my friends, I got a buddy that I used to do podcasts with 100 years ago. He's coming over. My two other buddies like boxing more than MMA, but they used to watch fights with me. We used to go to this bar and watch fights. So they're in the know. But yeah, it's going to be the four of us. Here's the where it's really going to get interesting is that the party starts earlier and we're going to be in the pool for a little bit. So I don't even know who's going to stick around. I think Anderson is reason enough to stick around, but we'll see. I'm prepping them. I'm saying it's going to be all night. If you want to be all night, you might drive separate from your wife.
Just all right. A bunch of White Claws.
Yes. White boys, hashtag white boy summer. Let's move on to start the conversation. Chet Hanks. Google him. Google Chet Hanks, just like Shaq.
H-A-N-X is how it's spelled.
It is. All right, let's move on to start the conversation. Craig, we got to come to Jesus here with these circus fights because you just told me that you spent $50 to watch Floyd Mayweather fight Logan Paul, and for months – if not a year, I would write these circus fights into the rundown and you would say, enough. Let's not do it. Nobody cares. Listen, before this fight, no less than Luke Thomas and Brian Campbell were in their Versace robes, which let's not get me started on those two guys. But they were in Versace robes in the pre-fight. So they're on board. They fought it initially. Everybody fought it initially. Is it finally time for us to admit we were wrong about circus fights, and they are going to play a huge role in the future of combat sports.
Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. Hey, 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 hey. Did you watch that circus fight?
No.
No? Because Aaron Carter fought Lamar Odom, what, last week? Whenever it was. I didn't watch it, but I remember Aaron's party. But yeah, I didn't watch it. I think that was the peak. And I think where it didn't deliver to what the fans expected, I think that's where it starts to go downhill. Like, I had people that I work with that are not MMA fans. They're not boxing fans. They don't like Logan Paul. They know who Floyd Mayweather is. Of course, they know who they both are. But I had a guy come up to me and he said, like, there was nobody even there. Where were the fans? And yeah, what was it? There was a lot of rain before the co-main, before the main event. They were bringing towels out. They were cleaning the ring off. It just didn't look like there were that many people there. And that was at Dolphin Stadium, was it not? So I was kind of surprised by, yeah, with an event like that, you're going to get a lot of people show up just for the main event. I think you're crazy if you spend that kind of money and you don't show up early. Like, I've been, again, I've gone to 3 UFC events as a fan, Halifax, Moncton, and UFC 220. And for every single one, I've shown up hours beforehand. And when you get through security, they're starting their startup music and the first fight's about to start. And I have to race to my seat. And then once the fight's done, I get my food or whatever and I get back. Like, I am there from jump. And I get that. There's a lot of people that don't do that. But yeah, if that's kind of the play, especially with that big of a fight, and there were so many people disappointed in it, it's going to be really hard, really hard to bring that moment back. It's just like when BKFC had Pauly Malignaggi and Artem Lobov. I think that was peak BKFC, I think a few weeks ago, or yeah, whenever the fight was, because that's how forgettable it was. That was peak celebrity fighting right there.
I can't go all the way with you on that. I will say this. Okay. As just an anecdotal little thing that could mean nothing or could mean everything. Again, this is a guy who I kind of go in and out with how much I care about him. But Gary Vaynerchuk says that just because your kids don't communicate the way that you used to communicate doesn't mean they're not social. They're social in a way that is different than the way you're social, and you're missing the boat to think that, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk said one of these things I watched, if you're, you know, your friends weren't out and it was raining, your day was finished. These kids, they have other ways to contact their friends. They have other ways to interact with their friends. Here's what I'll just tell you. I'm a teacher, okay? The fact that I cover fights doesn't help a lot. But my kids who know that I like fights, not cover them, but like them, said to me, Mr. Franklin, did you see the Jake Paul fight? These are fifth and sixth graders. So the question becomes, sometimes you don't see the ripple effect of something until years after, right? Like Michael Bisping begets Darren Till, right? The reason why Bisping becomes a fighter, or I'm sorry, Till becomes a fighter, maybe it's because he has Bisping to look up to. The reason why McGregor becomes a fighter, maybe because of GSP, whatever the thing. You don't see it for a while, right? Chael influences Connor, however you want to look at it. These kids are watching these fights because of the Paul brothers. And it may be building an audience that may not have existed without them. I'm not so sure about it, but I think there's going to be more of this. I do think it's going to have its peak. I just don't think we've reached it yet. I think the peak will be when Conor McGregor fights one of these kids. If Conor McGregor fights Jake Paul, that's the peak.
Or it could be this weekend on your birthday. You never know.
It could be Anderson Silva. Anderson Silva and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. and Hector Camacho Jr. Fight TV. Let's finish strong. I'm going to lean on you for this one because, you know, my head's been up my ass with most of this stuff lately. Bellator, PFL, fight announcements. What's on your radar? I saw, like, Luque and Chiesa got booked.
That's really exciting. Obviously, you know, right now, the aftermath of Gleison Tibau beating Rory McDonald is all over the internet. Everybody's really mad about it. It was definitely a robbery. With Bellator, they're zigging and zagging. They're putting out press releases. You finally get a date for AJ McKee and Pitbull, the finale of the Featherweight Grand Prix, the end of July. So that's really exciting. That's a fight that everybody wants to see. In terms of fight announcements, next weekend, what is it, the 26th, I believe, the co-main event is no longer Ovince St. Preux and Max Griechen. It's going to be Ovince St. Preux and Tanner Boser, a guy who just lost his last fight, controversial decision where he fought Aleer Latifi. And right after he fought, I don't know if you saw it over on Twitter, he was basically like, cut me. Cut me. I have one fight left on my deal. Let me fight it out. Let me go. So he gets a co-main event slot against OSP, and I don't know what that means for him. Modestus Bukauskas is going to be fighting Khalil Roundtree. Askar Askarov doesn't get the next title shot. He has to fight Alex Perez. Jairzinho Rozenstruik's fighting Curtis Blaydes. Any of these tickle your fancy? Iwan Kutsalaba's fighting Devin Clark. Now we're starting to get into the deep cuts. Tim Means had a fight that fell out this week. He's now going to be fighting Nicholas Dalby. Ah, I'll leave you with this one. This is the most interesting one. And yes, Chiesa Luque is good. Marlon Moraes is going to be fighting Merab Dvalishvili. Come on, Merab! What are you thinking about that one?
Anything that gets me the Merab impression or the Sarah impression, like, I love. So whenever time Dvalishvili, I was like, oh, that's kind of a step up.
It's an interesting booking. I can't wait for it.
All right, guys, before we get out of here, let me just say I am a father figure, although there is kind of confusion about that on this podcast. I'm a father figure to Craig Allen and Matt Allen, but I am a father to Jackson Franklin, Amelia Franklin. Happy Father's Day to everyone out there. My son is a dyed-in-the-wool Cubs fan. My daughter is a devout ball buster. I love them both. I'm happy to be a dad. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy it responsibly. There's some good fights. I don't know if you heard, Anderson Silva is fighting Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. His father's fighting as well. Guys, there you have it. Craig can be followed at Craig Allen FFP. I can be followed at SM Cornerman. The fight has been stopped. We'll see you next week. Craig, my birthday's this weekend. Say something witty.
There's something in the mail. You can check out ?Kicks with me in the woods live. So stick around for that. And as we always say, let's get into it.
Let's get into it.